79. When they reached the second floor, they could look straight down the hall to the front window. They couldn't see the great squale itself, but they saw the landscape going dark in the distance. They ran to the control room. The others had cleaned out the remains of the broken tubes. Veek set the box down on the floor in front of the array. She pulled the new tubes from their slots one by one and handed them out.
"Try not to touch the glass," she told everyone. "Use the packing like a wrapper and take it off once they're in place."
Clive spun his two different ways until he figured out how to slot it between the other tubes. Roger got his in position but couldn't get it to lock. Zila's snapped into place and sparked on the ends. She peeled off the foam wrapping, and the tube was filled with a soft glow.
"Get the prongs in first," she said, "then twist the flat end into the bracket."
Roger's tube sparked, and he beamed at her. Clive got his and then stepped aside so Debbie could put one in under it. Veek handed the last one to Zila. The tubes snapped into place, and a few threads of electricity raced out across the array. They felt the hum begin in the floor. Sparks flashed behind some of the other controls. Clive and Debbie held each other. Roger hugged Zila. Nate and Veek squeezed their hands together. Nothing happened.
"No," said Debbie. "No, no, no, no."
The machine remained quiet. Veek shook her head.
"We missed something. We must have missed something."
Nate looked around. "Where are the sketches, the diagrams?"
"They're on the couch,"
said Zila. She broke free of Roger and limped for them. Debbie tailed her. Mandy flinched away from them. They each picked up a handful of pictures and then staggered under the weight of the great squale's thoughts.
"My people, my prey, my food, my way, the way, the open way."
Veek wiped her eyes. The hand came away streaked with red.
"Maybe it's the order," she said. "Maybe we need to do it in a certain order."
Nate grabbed one of the diagrams. He wasn't sure which one, and something in his mind, something buried under the growing presence of the great squale, told him it didn't matter.
"Explain it again," he said. "How'd you figure out which ones to reset?"
"The dust," Zila said. She gestured at the diagrams with her free hand and tried to ignore the drops of blood falling from her nose.
"All the buttons and switches Andrew and his people touched had the dust wiped off them. With the buttons, the dusty ones went in, and the ones that popped out had been in the wall, so they were clean. And the dials all had dust on the top, so we turned them back, so it was all on top again."
"The open way, my way, to prey, my prey, my cattle."
Nate looked at the wall of controls. They'd forgotten something, and it had been on the edge of his mind before the great squale hammered it back down. It got dark outside. The beast was close. It would destroy the building this time. They could all sense that under the dark imagery of its thoughts. Debbie wrapped her arms around Clive and they closed their eyes. Mandy sobbed behind her arms. Nate looked at the gaping holes in the wall that had been windows back when the control room had just been Clive and Debbie's apartment. The same windows he'd first seen the great squale from. And he knew it was the same one. None of the others were big enough to make themselves known like that, to press up against another world the way it had that first time. The first time they... Nate looked at the control panels, at all the shiny levers and knobs and switches they'd adjusted and readjusted and...
"Roger,"
he shouted, "which switch did you touch?" He blinked and tears of blood ran from his eyes.
"I didn't touch any."
"2 weeks ago when you hit one of the switches," said Nate. He had to raise his voice over the noise of the squale's wings and the wind that came with them. "When we caused the earthquake, you wiped the dust off it then." Veek stared at the controls. Zila's mouth dropped open.
"Your switch was already clean," Nate yelled. "We turned it back off."
"Destroy, smash open the way to prey my cattle, my prey."
"Which one was it?"
Clive shouted at Roger. Roger stared at the wall of controls. He looked down at the floor, then around for furniture that had been tossed away from its usual place.
"I don't know."
"Think,"
shouted Nate. The wind was picking up.
"You can do it." "Just look at the controls,"
said Debbie.
"Where were you standing compared to the controls?"
Sand whipped in through the window and stung their skin. The diagram flapped in Nate's hand and he let it slip from his fingers. It flew into the air, made a quick circle around the room, and plastered itself on a panel above the bank of glass tubes.
I don't know,
shouted Roger.
How high was your arm? Yelled Zila. Try to remember.
The walls trembled. Outside was black as night. They could hear the overseers chanting under the wind's roar.
Come on, you ignorant jackass,
shouted Veek.
Use your brain for once in your life.
Roger glared at her and then he looked at the controls. A trail of blood raced out of his nose and across his lip. He grinned.
Fuck you, bitch,
he yelled back at her. He stabbed out and flicked his switch down. The Kavach building roared to life. A buzz of power filled the air as the machinery engaged. Electricity raced around the panels. The hum in the floorboards canceled out the shaking walls. On the control panel, the needles rose to attention. They centered on Zero. Zila threw her arms around Roger and kissed him savagely on the mouth. For a moment, it was bright outside, as if unseen lightning had lit up the sky. A new tremor ran through the Kavach building. There was a sensation of lifting, of casting off, as if an enormous mass had been tossed aside, and a wave of nausea and shifting gravity knocked the residents to the ground.
No, my prey, mine, mine, my prey, my new world, no, no, no.
The thoughts of the great squale faded as if it were falling away. Energy clotted the air around them. A ripple ran through the walls, the aftershock of a quake that never happened. The Kavach building took them home. Andrew stood with the overseers. His voice joined theirs in song. The Lord of all things filled the sky above them. It was the sky, and it filled their minds as surely as air filled their lungs. The winds flaying their skins were a sign of its greatness. The Kavach building flickered before them. A ripple of brilliant color raced around the building like a New Year's Eve light show. And it was gone. The dead air shook with its sudden absence. The Lord of all things roared its anger. The heretical machine, the machine that kept nature from taking its course, had vanished. The way was sealed. The faithful had failed. Andrew felt a wave of nervousness wash over him as his God's wrath became known. Still, he knew he was favored. He was blessed for all he had done, and the proof was that he stood in the presence of the Great One itself. He closed his good eye and angled his face to the sky. He raised his arms and smiled as he felt his God's love wrap around him and lift him up. It was the most wonderful day ever.